Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Doohan. Today's date is Monday, August 31st, 2015, and here's a look at our top stories.
Tonight.
Changes with background checks will help at the margin, but I wouldn't expect that to have big impacts on the rate of violent crime in the country.
A gun grabber admits that expanded background checks do little and ignores reports of hammers killing more people than assault rifles. Then, could you flunk out of college for using the words male or female? And a call to all patriots.
So join us this September 16th and 17th for what I believe will be the final money bomb that InfoWars ever runs as we prepare to launch to the next and final level of global awakening. Because as Mahatma Gandhi famously said, first they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they attack you, then you win. I began to get into iodine a few years ago because it was helping me and my family so much get healthy and detoxify. I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there. And I know this for a fact. Nobody else has got iodine based on these pure crystals, ladies and gentlemen.
For a limited time, experience the ancient power of Survival Shield X2.
I believe our research is conclusive. This is the best iodine out there.
Take advantage of this at InfoWarsLife.com.
Coming up, we're going to look at the latest revelations in the Clinton email scandal. Also, we're going to look back on the life of Patriot filmmaker William Lewis, who died over the weekend. And we're going to get Californians' opinions on the recent capture of Nessie. Can't wait to see that one. But first, score one for the social justice warriors over the weekend. That's right. Here it is, out of the University of Texas. Texas removes Jefferson Davis and Woodrow Wilson statues. Statue removal follows nationwide campaign to take down historical items deemed racist. Following the tragic shooting of the black church in Charleston, South Carolina last June, a nationwide campaign has begun to remove statues and other historical items deemed racist. Just last month, a resolution to dig up Confederate General Nathan Bedford Forrest remains from a public park was passed by the Memphis, Tennessee City Council. That's right. People are looking for any and every reason just to say that's racist. We got to get rid of it. We're going to start just erasing history anytime somebody feels uncomfortable about it or is deemed racist. Now, what's interesting is Jefferson Davis was flanked by Woodrow Wilson. Now, it's interesting. Wilson was a Democrat who was known for praising the KKK, and he was moved merely to maintain symmetry on the wall. But let's look at Woodrow Wilson. He signed the Federal Reserve Act on December 23rd, 1913, which you could say has now created a whole nation, 300 million plus and counting debt slaves. That's right. Because the Federal Reserve is able to print money out of thin air, give it to big banks at zero interest, the big banks are then able to go in and buy up everybody's property, call in loans whenever they feel like it, basically keep everyone under their thumb. We are all now living as debt slaves, and you could thank Woodrow Wilson for that. But no outcry from that, just outcry from the president of the Confederacy, who was elected by the Confederacy to be their president. Yes, he did own slaves, but let's take a look at some other presidents who owned slaves. Some on this list might surprise you, and some of them may not. Here's the list. And this information comes from Jubilo, the Emancipation Century. And there's about 13 presidents listed here. Let's start off with the list. Number one, George Washington, the father of our country. Then the third president, Thomas Jefferson. The fourth, James Madison. Moving on in the number five spot, James Monroe. Then Andrew Jackson and Martin Van Buren. Now we go to number seven on the list. He was our ninth president, William Henry Harrison. Then John Tyler, who was the 10th president, James K. Polk, the 11th president, Zachary Taylor, the 12th. Then the 15th president, James Buchanan. The 17th president, Andrew Johnson, who was right before Lincoln in the Civil War. And then number 18 on the list, which I was surprised to see, Ulysses S. Grant. That's right. The head of the Confederacy. The head of the Union, the Union general, the guy who ended the Civil War, was also a slave owner before he became the general of the Union Army. So you may want to think about when you decide Black Lives Matter people, social justice warriors who want to go out there and hide history and pretend it didn't happen and try to cover it up and have statues removed. You never know where this could go to. So this was the guy who effectively, you could say, ended slavery in the United States, even though it was already on its way out. Now, where is this all going? Here's an article from Mark Slavo. Got white privilege? College students flunked for using oppressive and hateful language. This is where it goes to. It goes to the language, from statues to language. Campus reform reported on political correctness gone too far. Multiple professors at Washington State University have explicitly told students their grades will suffer if they use terms such as illegal alien, male, and female, or if they fail to defer to non-white students. According to the syllabus for Selena Lester Brinkus, Women and Popular Culture class, students risk a failing grade if they use any common descriptors that Brinkus considers oppressive and hateful language. Here we go to Professor Rebecca Fowler's syllabus. Students will lose 1 point every time they use the word illegal alien or illegals rather than the preferred term undocumented migrants, immigrants, or persons. Throughout the course, Fowler says students will come to recognize how white privilege functions in everyday social structures and institutions.
We're going to talk about racism.
According to MTV's Francesca Ramsey, it's impossible for black people to be racist. Ramsey claims that the dictionary definition of racism, the hatred or intolerance of another race, isn't the true meaning of racism.
Because it's just the dictionary.
Really? Isn't that convenient? So it's okay for social justice warriors to claim, just look at the dictionary definition when it comes to feminism.
All you morons who are too stupid to look up the definition of feminism.
With no mention of the fact that radical feminism, in practice, has virtually nothing to do with the dictionary definition of feminism, but suddenly different rules apply when you're talking about racism. Ramsey says black people can't be racist towards white people, only prejudiced.
Reverse racism is not a thing.
First off, that has no legal basis whatsoever. According to the 1968 Civil Rights Act and the 1994 Violent Crime Control and Law Enforcement Act, a racially motivated hate crime carries the same punishment no matter the race of the perpetrator or the victim. Secondly, she claims it's only racism if it's backed by a major institution.
But when a person of color discriminates or stereotypes a white person because of their race, in the United States, they don't have the institutional power to back them up and say that those feelings are okay.
Oh, you mean like affirmative action? Major institutions of learning giving African Americans college places based on their skin color and not their academic achievement in favor of whites. Is that racist? Goldsmiths University, a major institution, refusing to fire student diversity officer Bahar Mustafa after she banned white people from attending a college event. Is that racist? Black on white crime, the major institution of media routinely ignoring or downplaying the fact that black people are 27 times more likely to attack white people than vice versa, while collectively blaming all white people when one nutcase goes on a rampage. Is that racist? Only white people can be racist. Really?
Black people are racist, or the most racist people than any other race on this planet.
Was it not racist when Bryce Williams shot dead Alison Parker live on air in order to create what he called a race war? Was it not racist when a gang of black radicals called for lynching whites and killing cops just days before Deputy Darren Goforth was gunned down in cold blood? Was it not racist when the major institution of media refused to identify the suspect as black? Was it not racist when a black couple beat this white woman while yelling, "Wrong hood, bitch"?
Bitch, wrong hood, bitch. Wrong hood, bitch. Wrong hood, bitch.
Is it not racist for the major institution, which is MTV, to endlessly make TV shows and YouTube videos lecturing white people about how racist they are? Seriously, this channel is called MTV News. Music Television News. Yet over half of the previous 24 videos have been about racism. Plus, it's completely inaccurate to claim that only major institutions wield power in today's society. Twitter outrage mobs wield huge power. We see them getting people fired and destroying people's lives all the time. And almost every time that happens, it's white people being publicly shamed for saying something politically incorrect.
Good people can unintentionally say and do racist things.
But not if you're killing white people to try and start a race war. No, that's not racist at all, is it?
Or just wind up supporting racist institutions and practices without even realizing it.
Oh, you mean like Black Lives Matter, right? Supporters of which routinely call for murdering white people.
So you agree with Malcolm X that white people should be killed? Is that why you're here?
You damn right I do! So yeah, you do need to die.
Colorblindness is not gonna fix racism. It's a good idea in theory, but ignoring race is not gonna solve racism. Race isn't the problem. Treating people differently based on race is the problem.
So, treating people differently based on race is part of the problem. But being colorblind and treating everyone equally, regardless of race, is still racist.
Or people of color facing harsher prison sentences for petty crimes in comparison to white criminals.
Except the study that she's talking about found that racial disparity in sentences wasn't a result of federal judges being racist. As Larry Elder documents, differences in conviction and sentencing rates by race are due to differences in the gravity of the criminal offences, prior records, and other legal variables. Look, I'm not saying that black people don't face racial discrimination from institutions and society. They clearly do. But then to claim that it's impossible for people of colour to be racist, based on a new rule that you've conveniently created, which is contradicted by a plethora of examples, is patently stupid. This video again illustrates how social justice warriors don't believe in equality. Treating a black person the same way you treat a white person is not good enough. You're still racist. And even if you're not intentionally being racist, and you're not aware of the fact that social justice warriors think that merely being born white is racist, and that you just want to see all humans as one race, you're still racist.
Prejudice and racism aren't the same thing.
So yeah, you do need to die.
Check me out on Twitter, @PrisonPlanet. Subscribe to the channel. I'm Paul Joseph Watson for Infowars.com.
And it's not just free speech that they're going after. People like this are going to start renaming public places, national monuments. Everything's going to get renamed. Here's an article from My Way. Alaska-bound Obama makes waves by renaming Mount McKinley. In a major show of solidarity, Obama announced on the eve of his trip to Alaska that his administration is changing the name of North America's tallest peak, Mount McKinley, to Denali. It's traditional Athabascan name. That's right. There's not going to be any more of anything that you knew in the past. It will all be changed under this new guise of political correctness. And here's John Baum with how Obama wants to also destroy ancient world monuments.
ISIS has flattened yet another document of human history. In war, there are essentially three ways that historic monuments are destroyed. Either in a hail of gunfire as it's exchanged by warring soldiers, or demolished by bombs dropped from the air. Or more recently, by a Frankenstein monster of religious zealots arrogantly expressing their domination of a captured area and destruction of idols.
Hundreds of casualties in air raids on Syrian market. And the media is demonizing the Syrian government, saying, how dare they? It looks like a bunch of civilians got killed because Al-Qaeda, ISIS, as they always do, based their head base in the city they'd taken over. This is admitted in the middle of the market because there's buildings within the market. Syria has now turned the tide against the rebels 2 years ago. Now they've had the tide turned against them. The rebels hold more than 60% of the country. They're taking major towns and cities every week. Russia is basically starting to withdraw support from Syria. It looks like it's going to fall to Al-Qaeda. And they are going to murder every Christian and Jew they get their hands on. And then you'll hear our media go, gee, Syria's so failed. They're killing everyone. It's so sad. Just like Libya.
Recently, Syrian scholar Khalid al-Assad was beheaded by ISIS militants as a stark message to President Bashar al-Assad. As ISIS wages its United Nations and CIA-backed horror across the Middle East into the jowls of Damascus, the legendary 82-year-old scholar had been interrogated for a month over the location of treasures from Palmyra. His beheaded and mutilated corpse was hung from one of the Roman-era column ruins in the ancient Syrian city. With him dissipates decades of world history and irreplaceable relics that stood for thousands of years. Before the destruction of Palmyra, the ancient Assyrian city of Nimrud, the site believed to have been where the Tower of Babel was built, was destroyed in March. Secretary of State John Kerry said he was disturbed by the destruction in Nimrud. Yet none of this would have happened without Kerry's hidden hand allowing the ISIS monster to grow on his watch. Mark Altawil, professor of archaeology at University College of London, said, "I would describe Nimrud as one of the really unique archaeological sites in the entire ancient Near East. Nimrud is the capital of the first empire in this long series of empires that have profound significance in the way this region develops and ultimately how it affects our own society." In March of 2015, ISIS ravaged Iraq's antiquities, destroying the ancient royal city of Sargon at Khorsabad, northeast of Mosul. The ancient city of Hatra and the Mosul Museum, where many of the Assyrian artifacts were housed, was destroyed. The multi-million dollar Mosul library that housed thousands of ancient books and manuscripts were looted and used for firewood, and Jonah's tomb was blown up, Jonah's story being one that is spread among all faiths. Meanwhile, the United Nations stands by and wrings its hands, deeming the destruction a war crime, refusing to own up to any of the blame while supporting the New World Order in its bid for global dominance, bursting with the demons of the United States and United Nations-supported obliteration of human history. John Bound for Infowars.com.
Coming up, we're going to look at why Americans are fed up with gun control. And we're going to look back on the life of filmmaker William Lewis. Stay tuned. It's all that and more on the InfoWars Nightly News, and I'm your host, Rob Due.
No one will go to the New York Times or care that it's even admitted that the government's hatching most of the terror plots. Or people will say, what are you doing? Endorsing radical Islam, saying it doesn't exist? I didn't say that. I said our criminal government is arming them, aiding and abetting them, protecting them to attack and kill us so they can take our freedoms. That's what I said.
Never water yourself down just because someone can't handle you at 100 proof. It's the Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, Glenn Beck, and everybody else that runs around claiming that I'm saying there aren't any real Muslim terrorists. That's a load of crud, and you know it. Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused, less brain fog, more energy, more special reports, and it's because of Brain Force.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for.
And that's the principle of InfoWars life, as far as I understand, that you've always had, is that it's not about synthetic chemicals and forcing actions. It's about letting your body do its own thing and giving your body the tools it needs to create these different compounds that are super valuable and super beneficial.
You will find Brain Force and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139. I wanted to bring Weldon Henson in here briefly because we have a great sponsor. Boy, I've sure been enjoying the firearms that I've gotten from them. HDfirearms.com. That's Head Down Firearms. They have super high quality 223s, 308, you name it. It's called 5.56, technically, in the 223, that are guns that would be $3,000 or $1,500. Guns that would be $1,500 or $900.
Well, the important thing to remember is that if you're not in the market to buy a brand new rifle, you have an AR-15, you have an AR-10 platform 308 rifle. They've got everything you need to upgrade it. Buy a new part, buy a new trigger, buy a new muzzle brake, buy a new handrail. It's all an upgrade for your rifle because these are all superior top-of-the-line quality products made in America.
tell folks about their low profile series.
Well, this is an important thing to have. This is untraceable. Anybody can get this kit right here. You don't have to go through a federal firearms license place. You can have it shipped right to your house.
This is what the traders have been trying to shut down.
Absolutely. So you basically have everything you need besides a lower receiver, because that's what's traceable, that's what's serialized, and that's what the federal government's after. But you can get this right here. Get your own lower receiver any way you want. There's different programs. All you got to do is your own research, and you can find out how to get a lower receiver so that you can put it on this. Maybe you already have a lower receiver from an AR from way back that you just don't quite use anymore. It's old, something like that. You can throw it on this. You basically have a brand new rifle, and you saved money by putting it together yourself and buying this kit right here, which is cheaper than the actual rifle.
And they've got the highest quality barrels, the highest quality triggers. We're not just saying that. Go look at the third-party reviews. Tell them about the new rifle they're producing that's getting amazing reviews. And then I just got one, this 308.
Yes, that is very...
Arcadius.
Arcadius. That's very exciting. They just came out with their own line of AR-10 platforms, which is basically an AR-15, but instead of it being a 5.56, it shoots a 308 round, which I know you personally like shooting a 308.
I like them both. And, I mean, just to be clear, they've always, for years, been making this for the big manufacturers, the high end. They're just now not private labeling. They're putting out their own guns.
Yes. Well, the one they sent you, I'm actually jealous of, is a beautiful gun. It's set up and configured for long-range shooting, marksmanship-type things.
Just the scope alone is something to snuggle with.
Yeah, it's a Vortex 4x16 scope, which you can get a head down as well, their distributor. And I think things for people to remember is that if you want a 308, you don't have to get the 18-inch barrel. You don't have to get the 22-inch barrel. You don't have to get it set up for marksmanship. You can get one with a 16-inch barrel that's set up for more of an assault weapon type, you know, configuration. So anything you want, people just call head down. You can get anything you want made there and any configuration you might want on your rifle. They're able to do that, and they have 100% perfect customer service ratings there.
Bottom line, it's not just firearms, a ton of accessories, very affordable, and it supports the InfoWar. If you're not shopping at HDFirearms.com, you're not helping the InfoWar. I mean, this is a win-win. Thank you all for your support. Check them out today. Thank you, Weldon.
Welcome back. Now, coming up, we're going to look back on the life of filmmaker William Lewis and explore some new developments in the war on drugs. But first, let's get to some gun control news. Here's the New York Times' Josh Barrow, and he said, actually said this on TV, massive gun grab is the only way to impact violent crime. This is what he said on MSNBC. Here's that clip.
But I would also note the things that we talk about in the United States are so at the margins on this stuff that I wonder about how much they would really impact gun violence. If you did something like Australia did, where you really take away massive amounts of guns that people have, reduce the rate of gun ownership substantially in society, you could have a big impact on violent crime. But, I mean, changes with background checks will help at the margin, but I wouldn't expect that to have big impacts on the rate of violent crime in the country.
Yeah, there you go. And, of course, his feelings and concepts are directly in contrast with most of the American people. In fact, this is from Steve Watson. Came out today on InfoWars.com. Poll, 60% of Americans are against more gun control. A survey conducted in the wake of last week's Virginia shooting of two reporters on live TV finds that the majority of Americans do not believe stricter gun control laws would have prevented the incident. Rasmussen finds only 29% of likely voters feel that further gun control laws would have done something to prevent the shooting, while 60% of Americans, more than twice as many, said that they believe more gun control wouldn't have done anything to stop the attack. The poll also found 68% agree with Donald Trump's statement, it's not a gun problem, it's a mental problem. And that's something that we've been saying here on InfoWars for a long time. The shooter in this incident was able to legally go buy a gun with a background check. The shooter in Charleston was able to go legally buy a gun with a background check. So we're seeing that background checks really aren't the answer. What we really have to look on is maybe how much medication are we prescribing these people? How many times do we have people going off the rails after taking too much of their meds or coming off their meds or just getting on their meds? There's all these red flag areas that you really have to be worried about with people using this stuff. But what has this turned to? All this gun control talk has turned really deadly, especially over the weekend. And here we have Sheriff Clark coming on Fox News saying Obama has declared open season on cops. And this has to do with a sheriff's deputy that was killed in Houston on Friday. And here is Alex Jones analyzing the sheriff's remarks.
And here's the headline at InfoWars.com that says it all with the video clip of the sheriff on the news nationally. Of course, guest of this broadcast as well, now becoming really a national leader because of his articulate, educated, informed, libertarian slash conservative stance. And that, of course, is Sheriff David Clark, who I'd love to see run for president. I mean, this guy's really has it down. I've seen him get up and give hour-long speeches to groups online. I've seen the speeches, and he just really knows what he's talking about. He doesn't have notes, doesn't have a teleprompter. He's the real deal, and just everything he says makes complete sense. He's really got it.
I said last December that war had been declared on the American police officer led by some high-profile people, one of them coming out of the White House, one coming out of the United States Department of Justice. And it's open season right now. There's no doubt about it. This whole movement, Black Lies, I've renamed it L-I-E-S, because it's based on a lie, the hands up, don't shoot. That's why I said this slime needs to be eradicated from American society and American culture. I need every law-abiding person in the United States of America to stand up and start pushing back against this slime, this filth. This was an assault on the American way of life, the American justice system. And if the American police officer backs off, we're all in trouble.
And you have to understand, the White House has been caught, and so has Hillary, and so has Nancy Pelosi, with their staffers inside Black Lives Matter at the national level, pushing this narrative with Al Sharpton and with MSNBC and CNN. So we know this is going on. I'm going to break down why this is happening in a moment, because this is the key. If you understand the mindset of these people, and if you understand why they're doing this and how they're getting away with it, then you understand everything else. You understand the culture of the socialist and the communist. You understand their worldview. You understand, most importantly, how to defeat them. Here is the headline out of ABC News 13 in Houston. Suspect arrested and charged with fatally shooting Harris County Deputy Darren Goforth. Friday and then Saturday, when we had video of the guy, the news would just say a dark-complected man. That's how politically correct this has gotten, where major universities now are banning the word man and woman, boy and girl, he or she. I have that in the news today. This is a cult takeover, but it's scientific. These are not whack jobs. These are not people that are just forcing their agenda on us. This is a planned rollout. They are so politically correct that they're going, we don't know the motive, we don't know why. It's completely obvious. Breitbart's got the report. It's up on Infowars.com. Texas deputy executed days after black radical group calls for killing cops. I mean, this is all over the place. These same groups call for people to come after Infowars, folks. And what David Clark has pointed out is that radical Islamicist ISIS groups, hoods, thugs, hoodlums, the whole prison culture, the bad prison culture, there's a lot of innocent people in prison, but the really nasty perp culture is fusing with a bunch of misfits, I'm basically paraphrasing him, into this Black Lives Matter movement.
And you really got to look at what Alex said in that clip, how he talked about how first they go after the language and say, you can't say this, you can't think this, but then groups like Black Lives Matter are allowed to go around and chant, die, pig, die, essentially, and nobody is reprimanded. So then somebody sees that and goes, well, I'm going to go ahead and get me some. I'm going to get me a cop. And then you have what happened in Houston over the weekend. So people really need to look at where this control of you can only say certain things, this political correctness on steroids is going, because it's not going to lead anywhere good in this country. And where it's going to lead to is a civil war between the cops and minorities. And it's not going to end up good. I can tell you that right now. So don't fall for it. Now let's look at this exclusive that just came out of Breitbart. Hillary Clinton shared an email network with the Clinton Foundation. Hillary Clinton's private email server was housed at the same physical location on the same network as the email server used and operated by the Clinton Foundation. Breitbart News has exclusively learned. Records reveal that Hillary Clinton's private ClintonEmail.com server shared an IP address with her husband's Bill Clinton's email server, presidentclinton.com, and both servers were housed in New York at their house. The bombshell revelation raises new concerns about the possible illegality of Hillary Clinton's private email use. And now Leanne McAdoo has more on this.
I used a single account for convenience. Obviously, these years later, it doesn't look so convenient. And most importantly, I never sent classified material on my email, and I never received any that was marked classified.
7,000 pages are set to be released from Hillary Clinton's private homebrew server this evening. Now, under intense questioning, the State Department admits that within this latest data dump of emails, about 150 of them will be upgraded to classified status. Now, the agency spokesperson stressed that the information was not marked as classified at the time, although he concedes that, you know, some changes are going to have to be made within the intelligence community. Obviously, there is absolutely no excuse for improperly handling sensitive information. All of these emails resided on a private homebrew mail server that Clinton had set up herself. She controlled it. It was away from the prying eyes of government inspectors and Freedom of Information Act officials. And it includes the 30,000 emails that Hillary Clinton already ordered to be deleted because she said they were personal in nature. Now, obviously, the question here is, would those personal emails include pay-to-play donations that were made to the Clinton Foundation? Now, let's not forget that while Clinton was steering American foreign policy as the Secretary of State, donations were pouring in to the Clinton Foundation. And this includes a deal that gave the Russians control of one-fifth of all uranium production capacity in the United States. The company, Uranium One, donated $2.35 million to the Clinton Foundation. Those contributions weren't publicly disclosed by the Clintons, despite an agreement that was struck between Hillary and the Obama White House to publicly identify all donors. So could this be a reason why the establishment is throwing Hillary to the wolves? Her sloppiness could expose a lot of other shady business deals.
Now, coming up, we're going to look at the life of William Lewis. I'm going to have from Next News Network, Gary Franchi in on Skype, and we're going to he used to collaborate with William. And we're also going to look at some new developments in the war on drugs. And also, Mark Dice is going to interview people on what they think now that scientists have captured Nessie. Should we set her free? It's all that and more on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Another major health threat. This one in Toledo, Ohio, where everybody in the entire city has been told not to drink the water.
Ohio's governor declaring a state of emergency.
Did you know that the average person uses about 80 to 100 gallons of water at home every single day? If there's a water emergency, will you be prepared?
Panicked residents forming long lines throughout the day.
We're here at a supermarket in Toledo. You can see the shelves empty where water once was.
To stay safe and healthy during a crisis, you must have access to safe, clean water. Water which will not be available at your local grocery store.
There's a mad dash on right now to stock up on supplies.
The ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system is a must-have for every modern, independently minded household. Protect your family's safety during an emergency. Go to InfoWarsStore.com today to purchase your ProPure Pro 1 G2.0 water filtration system or call 1-888-253-3139.
Hi, I'm Shane Steiner. A lot of you have been following my progress using Supermail Vitality. The last 19 weeks has been an incredible experience. I was feeling a little down and lethargic during the holidays, and none of the supplements that I was taking were doing any good. That's when my longtime friend from high school, Alex Jones, introduced me to Supermail Vitality. I was a little skeptical at first. Not only would I have the energy to work out and go to the gym, but it was actually the changes were happening to my body a lot more rapidly. My whole mood, my libido, everything had completely changed. The concentrated organic herbs, they stimulate your natural systems to produce the natural hormones that you need. I just really wanted to bulk up and hit it hard, and I went in for about the first 5 weeks and was lifting heavy weight and just really hitting it hard, and I gained 20 pounds of muscle immediately. Since that, I've decided I was going to lose some weight and slim down. I just changed up my workout a little bit, and 35 pounds came off. Folks, this is not a joke. This is not a gimmick. It's real. Supermail Vitality, available at InfoWarsLife.com.
Introducing Secret 12, the new InfoWars Life vitamin B12 formulation. Most forms of vitamin B12 are highly processed and synthetic and could not be properly absorbed by the body. That's why for real results, so many are having to turn to painful B12 injections, which are known to have higher absorption rates. Now, InfoWarsLife.com is excited to announce that we can bring you our most bioactive, powerful form of B12 that has been developed with our exclusive perfected process. Secret 12 is a binary of nutraceutical grade, bioavailable coenzyme forms of B12, methylcobalamin, the same kind used in B12 injections, and adenosyl cobalamin. Secret 12 is simply taken by mouth, right on the tongue, and then swallowed. No needles, no injections. Don't take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Discover the secret. Secret 12. Secure your revolutionary Secret 12 formula right now at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139. Our world is becoming more and more toxic each and every day. But it's not just the air outside that's toxic. Indoor air has been shown to have 2 to 5 times higher concentrations of pollutants than even outdoor air. And most Americans spend 90% of their time inside using toxic chemicals within their homes. There are more than 42 million smokers in the United States. Well over 1,000 types of mold and mildew linked to numerous conditions. And don't forget the fact that 6 million Americans live with pets they're allergic to as well. When I began to research these statistics, it was clear to me it was time to start cleansing my lungs in order to combat the toxic environment that we cannot escape, but that we can fight back against. Made with organic and wild cultivated herbs and manufactured in the USA, the new InfoWars Life Lung Cleanse is here in a convenient spray bottle that can be brought with you throughout any toxic environment. Now available exclusively at InfoWarsLife.com.
Welcome back to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Rob Dew. Now, over the weekend, I received a text message from our next guest stating that filmmaker William Lewis had passed away. And if you don't know him, you should. He's made over 12 documentaries, worked on a few others, got his career started working on music album covers for people. But we posted the article, Patriot filmmaker William Lewis passes away. He was best known for his groundbreaking documentaries, including 9/11 in Plain Sight, Washington, You're Fired, and Life on the Edge of a Bubble. We have a lot of articles and interviews that he actually came here in studio via Skype if you want to check those out and learn about William Lewis if you don't already know about him. Now, I'm just going to go through his discography really quick, his filmography. Starting in 2004, he released 9/11 in Plain Sight. 2005 was Beyond Treason. 2006, One Nation Under Siege. 2007, 9/11 Ripple Effect. And then his next three documentaries, I think, are his most powerful. 2008, Washington, You're Fired. 2009, Life on the Edge of a Bubble, a documentary that's still very pertinent today. And then 2009, he worked on Camp FEMA with our next guest, Gary Franchi. Finishing up here, Enemy of the State, Camp FEMA Part 2, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, Ron Paul Uprising, and Peddling Influence. Now joining us via Skype is Gary Franchi, who collaborated on three projects with William Lewis, Camp FEMA Part 2, which is Enemy of the State, and Don't Tread on Me. He's with nextnewsnetwork.com. Gary, how are you doing today?
I'm doing okay, Rob. Thanks for having me, despite the news.
Yeah, it is bad news, especially when one of our own passes through the great wide open, however you want to say it. William Lewis is hopefully definitely in a better place at this point. I know he had some health issues recently in the last few years, but describe how you guys got together and your process of making the Camp FEMA documentary series.
Well, I was impacted mostly by his film 9/11 in Plain Sight, One Nation Under Siege, Washington, You're Fired. So when I came up with the concept for Camp FEMA, it was natural for me to start seeking out other filmmakers who I could collaborate with, and that's how I found William with Sudo's films. And we decided that we needed to make a film that would take a look at the contingency programs, the continuity of government programs in the United States, and put to rest some of the myths and raise light on realities of the FEMA camps in America.
Yeah, that's a big thing. People say, well, there's no FEMA camps. It's all written in documentation. And we've even uncovered documents since you guys made your films on how they're going to use Social Security numbers to categorize people, how they're going to have PSYOP officers at these camps. I mean, it's getting a lot serious now than it was back then, but even back then, you guys were showing how the Japanese intern camp worked, and I think you even interviewed a survivor from back then, back in the 40s when they were interned by the U.S. government.
Yeah, we did. That was one of the linchpins of the entire film, because we wanted to show people an American citizen. That was the whole point. The gentleman we interviewed was an American citizen who was interred in a camp that was upheld by the Supreme Court. So we had to lay down that foundation and then do a cross-reference to who the government sees as the enemies today. And, of course, we looked at the MIAC report. We looked at a bunch of different, the Southern Poverty Law Center, how all these different groups are targeting Americans simply because, you know, we support the Constitution.
Right. And I was talking earlier about, they just removed a Jefferson Davis and Woodrow Wilson statue from UT. And, you know, people think like the Civil War started overnight. No, these things are all drawn out. They're long plans that have to go into effect. I mean, it started years ago when the North started tariffing the South to go in and just raise the prices on their goods. So Southerners would have to pay more, thereby getting all that money that the South was getting from all the crops they were growing. But, you know, going back in with William Lewis, I mean, what do you think is his most impactful documentary?
I think 9/11 in Plain Sight. That was the first film that, you know, my father presented it to me, and I was like, wow, my dad's talking about this. You know, that's a game changer right there. And that film changed a lot of people's lives, opened a lot of people's eyes to the facts and the fraud of 9/11. So I think in the entire body of work, 9/11 in Plain Sight is going to change people's minds about that day. And then, of course, all his other films, like it's a progression. I mean, the whole catalog is so intense and so powerful that even in William's death, that he's going to have an impact for a very, very long time. Washington, You're Fired, amazing film. One Nation Under Siege, when I saw that movie, I was so captivated by his work. And I mean, the fact that I got to work with the guy on three films covering such amazing topics, FEMA camps, continuity of government, 10th Amendment, solutions to all these problems. I mean, don't tread on me. That's what it was all about, was the solutions to the problems. So being able to work with William was an honor, an absolute honor.
And, you know, you even told me that you guys were even talking about getting together and doing a Camp FEMA Part 3.
Yeah. I scripted the outline for that film. We started getting the artwork put together. And, see, William was having health issues for several years. He actually almost died on two different occasions. Here's the weird thing. Now, I spoke to his wife, and when we were filming Don't Tread on Me, William always traveled. He always traveled with a companion, somebody who could watch his back and make sure everything was going okay. The film topics he covered were always very controversial. Now, when I spoke to his wife, I said, Debbie, in the event that people come to me and say, hey, well, was William murdered? How do you want me to address that? Because, of course, that's where a lot of people's minds go. And I know the topic's going to come up. And she said, well, Gary, you should probably know something. And I was like, okay, what's going on here? When we were filming Don't Tread on Me, his hotel room was broken into. In the entire time that William was always making films, he always traveled with a companion. Now, when he was filming Don't Tread on Me, he went down to Oklahoma to interview Charles Key. That was the only time that he traveled alone. His hotel room was broken into. Everything was stolen except his camera, his wallet, his laptop, everything. Now, he ended up staying in that hotel room that night. Strangely enough, the security cameras of the hotel room were not working. So immediately after that is when his health started to decline. And I don't want to just...
Sorry to jump in, but what year was this about?
You know, I can't remember the date that we were filming that movie, but it was years ago. It was years ago. But his health immediately started to decline after he made that film. And his pancreas started shutting down. He started having severe health issues, and he almost died on two other occasions. So I don't want to jump on the bandwagon and say he was murdered, but when I spoke to his wife, that was what she raised to me, the strange coincidence of his health being in decline immediately after that film. I mean, the guy was 47 years old.
Yeah, no, he's not that old, you know, compared to lifespan. And he looked like he was in good health. He wasn't overweight. You know, the times he came on the Alex Jones show, he looked in great health.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's funny you should say that, because one of the first people, when I put out the tweet about your text message that you sent me that William Lewis had passed, one of the first people to get on and reply to that, you know, said, was it natural causes? Question mark. And that's where I think a lot of people are going to jump, because when you touch on this type of information that the government really doesn't want out there, they do not like the fact that people are out here talking about contingency plans to round up American citizens and put them in camps. But like you said, you know, if you guys were going to work on a Camp FEMA Part 3, I think a cornerstone of that is, you know, Hillary Clinton coming out and saying, I think we need fun camps for adults run by you people. She's talking to a group of people who work for Homeland Security. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, look, that should scare you.
Look at what Chris Christie is saying now. He wants to track all of the illegal aliens that come into this country. And he wants to put like RFID. Who knows how he wants to do it? But
right.
He's talking about, and that's the incremental step that's required.
Right, exactly. First is for illegal aliens, then it's for criminals in prison. Well, and then it's going to be for juveniles. And then, hey, you know, then the elderly. Oh, and then everybody. So pretty soon everybody's being tracked by the government with, you know, RFID tracking chips. And that's the ultimate goal. That's what they want. They want to control how you spend your money and who you spend it with. And then they want to control your movement and which ways you could go. That's why they want to have driverless cars. So that's all ways, you know, you could make the United States a case that it will soon be a giant FEMA camp with the driverless cars and the cashless society and the RFID tracking that they want to implement.
That's absolutely true. I mean, you know, prison planet, I mean, that's exactly what we're moving towards. And in the United States, it's terrifying to consider that prospect in the land of the free. But, you know, it's programs like yours that are making a difference, and the life and work of William Lewis that made a difference and is going to continue to make a difference.
Totally agree. And that's why we have to continue doing what we're doing out there. We're going to go to break, but check out nextnewsnetwork.com. If you're up in the Chicago area, we're down here in Austin, Texas. Everybody's got to do their part to jump in. I encourage you to go check out some of William Lewis's documentaries. And we're going to be right back. We're going to take a look at some war on drugs news, because there's some very interesting information that's out there now. And then we're also going to look at Mark Dice's video about how they captured the Loch Ness Monster and people's public reaction to that.
In the past decade, we have witnessed unparalleled scientific discoveries in the area of health. But no one has put together a formula that focuses directly on brain health, nerve growth factors, and optimizing your cellular energy at the same time. DNA Force is one of the most expensive formulas to produce. Some of the ingredients in DNA Force are $12,000 a kilogram. We are using the coveted, patented, only American source of PQQ, CoQ10, and more. You want the best that's out there at the lowest price anywhere? Well, we're bringing you a total win-win. The ultimate value, cutting-edge, trailblazing game changer that also supports the InfoWar. We have produced a limited run of DNA Force, and it will take up to 12 weeks to produce more once we sell out. Secure your DNA Force today at InfoWarsLife.com or call toll-free 888-253-3139. DNA Force, the knowledge of the ancients, tried and true, trusted herbs and extracts fused with the latest nutraceutical science. Introducing the all-new Ancient Defense Herbal Immunity Blend, crafted with over 14 key ancient herbs and extracts to supercharge and prepare your body for what experts admit is the most dangerous season of the year. We have rejected hundreds of other formulations in our quest to bring you what is simply the most powerful and comprehensive proprietary formula that we have ever created in the realm of herbal immunity. For the last 2 years, our team has been working with top doctors, nutritionists, and chemists to develop the ultimate nutraceutical formulation. Experience the benefits of combining over 14 ancient herbs and extracts with exciting new advances in nutraceutical science. For a limited time, get 25% off on this introductory offer. Visit AncientDefense.com or call 888-253-3139. AncientDefense.com.
Welcome back to our final segment of the InfoWars Nightly News. Now, before we get to Mark Dice quizzing people on the finding and capturing of Nessie, the infamous Loch Ness Monster, I want to go over some marijuana news. This is from the antimedia.org, and the headline reads, cocaine production plummets after DEA kicked out of Bolivia. There you go. Truth is stranger than fiction. According to data released by the United Nations, cocaine production in the country declined by 11% in the past year, marking the fourth year in a row of steady decrease. It was just 7 years ago that the DEA left Bolivia, and only 3 years after that, progress was finally made. The strategy employed by the Bolivian government may be a surprise to many prohibitionists, because it did not involve strong-arm police state tactics. Instead, they worked to find alternative crops for farmers to grow that would actually make them more money. And that is the whole key to this whole drug war. When you disincentivize it instead of going after the end user and you disincentivize the producer of it, you can make, you can actually gain ground on this. But let's look at Afghanistan. Here's an article from NBC. As heroin use grows in U.S., poppy crops thrive in Afghanistan. And this has been the same old song and dance that we've seen since the start of the Afghan war. That is basically the reason we're still in Afghanistan. That's the dirty little secret, is the fact that we've got pipelines now established. We protect the drug dealers. We help them get fertilizer and seeds to grow the poppies because this is how they make money. And they're not going to grow anything else that doesn't make money. So they're incentivized to grow more poppies to create more heroin. Then we bring it into the United States. We showed an article last week, like Vermont is one of the capitals. There's a city in Vermont, a real small town, that is one of the capitals of heroin use. That's a big problem. And then because we use so much heroin, now the Independent's reporting that Mexico is starting to grow more heroin to meet the demand in the U.S. And this just works out great with the DEA and others that are working in Mexico and other areas. They just work with the drug dealers. We've already shown you that, where some drug dealers like the Sinaloa cartel are protected, and they're protected so they get to do whatever they want as long as they rat out their buddies. So we go after their buddies because they're not protected. And that's how the whole drug game works. That is the problem with it. And it even gets worse. This is from freethoughtproject.com. SWAT team raids home, kills man over $2 worth of pot. Informant exposes police cover-up. A Florida family seeks justice after their son, Jason Westcott, was killed by members of a SWAT team during a drug raid on his house, which yielded a whopping $2 worth of marijuana. An internal investigation absolved officers of any wrongdoing. The police found only 0.02 grams of marijuana in Westcott's home. Westcott became a target of intense drug trafficking investigation after a confidential informant led investigators to believe that Westcott was a dealer as opposed to a casual cannabis smoker that he was in reality. The informant has since gone public and admitted that he was lying to police in the case. So here's the big problem, and that I think the reason we ought to make some laws that kind of curtail the use of informants, because informants are only after saving their own skin. And in saving their own skin, they'll turn in their mother and say she's a drug user or a drug dealer or whatever, and they'll make up all these wild stories to get SWAT teams and police looking in the other direction. It's a real problem, and this is something that I do think we need laws with. We need to curtail the use of informants, or if the informant ends up giving out wrong information, they need to be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. Or we need to protect informants so they aren't put in these situations. And that if they are, they have a way out of it. They have a way that they could say, wait a minute, I'm not going to give out false information and put people in prison. It's a big problem, and this is something that we do need to look at. But if we legalized the war on drugs or got rid of the war on drugs, you wouldn't have these problems. Now, going back to the article, on May 27, 2014, a Tampa Police SWAT team raided Westcott and Reyes' home, killing Jason Westcott. Officers claim they announced the warrant and proceeded to clear the house when they encountered an armed Westcott pointing a gun at police. Officers proceeded to fatally shoot him. And I think at the end of this article, the writer here really lays it out. Jay Sermopoulos, he says, the practice of trusting the word of individuals who have a vested interest in alleviating their own criminal charges as a practice that is contrary to the highest ideals of justice. And that is where I think, you know, the whole war on drugs is a problem, is a sham, because it leads to false arrests, false imprisonment, and police confiscating property. That seems to be what their motive is in going after these people. Now, speaking of marijuana use, there's a bizarre cannabis vomiting syndrome that is going around. This is a Daily Mail article. Heavy users suffer from severe nausea, pain that can only be relieved by bathing in hot water several times a day. CHS, which stands for cannabinoid hypermensis syndrome, was first reported in medical literature in 10 patients in Australia in 2004. Recognition of the condition is increasing, and doctors are now recognizing the condition in patients regularly visiting hospitals with severe nausea. Doctors reported that a 42-year-old man presented on 8 occasions with vomiting, abdominal pain, fever, and dehydration in the East Midlands. That's in Australia. They found that the man had been a chronic cannabis smoker since the age of 14. After a series of investigations, they found symptoms ceased when the patient stopped smoking the drug. I think it's probably something like this. People are using nasty products to grow the biggest, most potent cannabis out there, marijuana strains, and it's that residue of all the different chemicals they're using. There's a lot that goes into this stuff to make it really potent. And I think people are smoking this stuff on a regular basis, and they're probably poisoning themselves. So as with everything, GMOs, everything, go green, go organic. That's the way to go. Now, I want to end today's program with a look at what Mark Dice found when he went and asked people about how they felt and should they free the Loch Ness Monster when he was captured. I think this exposes the whole stupidity in American society that people don't even realize that they're being fooled, that they're being gamed by the system. So we're going to end the show with Mark Dice.
Probably saw on the news that this morning the hunters did capture what they have called the Loch Ness Monster, Nessie.
Really?
And we're just asking people if they think Nessie should be set free. Is that really fair to keep her in captivity like this?
No, I think they should just let Nessie free. I mean, well, supposedly if they find her, like, that's messed up to keep an animal, like, captured.
You probably didn't check the news.
No.
I mean, there's occasionally the marine biologists will find these old animals that have thought to have been extinct, and so they did capture the Loch Ness Monster, 17-foot-long Platosaurus. And a lot of people are saying that it's really unfair to keep Nessie in captivity. Do you think we should let her back into the wild?
Yeah, I think because it's like, you know, animal rights, like, it's the same thing as humans, like, let them be free, you know? Because it's, like, not right, as I said, that to keep, you know, a special being, like, a special animal, like keep in and, like, show them off to people. It's like, no, let the animal be free and let, you know, other people enjoy the view and let, you know, let it be in nature, basically. So,
what's your reaction to the discovery and the capture?
I'm actually surprised because I didn't even know it because I'm not from here, so I never really watched the news, and I'm just surprised that they found a Loch Ness Monster, but they should let...
Her go free. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. That's what we thought, too.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Confirmed authentic today, a Platosaurus dwelling deep within the waters of the loch.
Really?
Captured this morning.
Really?
Getting people's reactions to this historic find.
They should turn it loose and leave it alone.
Yeah, PETA is demanding that Nessie be set free immediately. You agree with their stance?
Yes. I mean, it's a wild animal, just like any other animal. There's probably another one out there.
His wife or her husband.
Or whatever, yeah. Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny how man does things sometimes.
They see something.
They see something they don't understand, and what do they do with it? They grab it, drag it away.
And put it in a zoo.
Yeah.
So we're going to free Nessie. You agree?
I agree.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
On the news today that they actually... Sorry. I can't do this with a straight face. We were going to try to tell you that they found the Loch Ness Monster to see what your reactions were, but I couldn't hold a straight face. So we're going to go talk to someone else.
You've been in practice.
Thank you. So a lot of people are calling for Nessie's return into the wild.
Absolutely.
In Loch Ness. Do you think it's unfair to keep her in captivity after she was free all these years to roam?
And you can see the rest of that video at The Loch Ness Monster Found and Captured Alive on Infowars.com. That is our show for today. Please be sure you join us here every weekday, 7 p.m. Central, for the Infowars Nightly News. If you're watching this on YouTube, hit the subscribe button there and become a subscriber to the Alex Jones channel. Or if you are already a subscriber and you want to really support us, become a member of PrisonPlanet.tv. It supports everything you see here, the lights, the cameras, all the action, sending the reporters to the different locations. It's our Prison Planet TV members that we really salute out there. So you can share your username and password with up to 20 people. That's 20 InfoWarriors for the price of one. Join us back here at 7 p.m. Central tomorrow with the InfoWars Nightly News.
Brain Force is here. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been on this the last few months. You probably noticed I've been more crazed, more focused, less brain fog, more energy, more special reports, and it's because of Brain Force.
We kept changing this formula over and over and over again until it became sort of a grand puzzle. For example, the L-theanine inside of it, that is activated by the different compounds in the yerba mate that we put inside of it as well. This just increases the compounds you already have.
This is what you're actually designed to run on.
Exactly.
It's kind of like a car will run on one form of junkie gas, but it runs really good on what it's designed for.
And that's the principle of InfoWars life, as far as I understand, that you've always had, is that it's not about synthetic chemicals and forcing actions. It's about letting your body do its own thing and giving your body the tools it needs to create these different compounds that are super valuable and super beneficial.
You will find Brain Force and other game-changing products at InfoWarsLife.com or call 888-253-3139.
You are watching the InfoWars Nightly News, which airs 7 p.m. Central at InfoWarsNews.com. And your support is helping us defend liberty worldwide.